Thieves of Light, Martin Espada. Chelsea, Massachusetts, 1991. We all knew about Gus, the locksmith, the Edison man, and me. We heard about the Welfare Hotel, where he stacked clothes on the sidewalk for the garbage truck if no rent was paid by Wednesday morning. We heard about the triple deckers, where he heaved someone else's chair or television from the third floor, and raged like a drunk blaming his woman, till the pleading tenant agreed to leave. There was word he even shot a cop 20 years ago, but the jury knew Gus too, studying cuticles or the courtroom clock as the foreman said, not guilty. The only constable in Chelsea wore his gun in a shoulder holster, drooped his cigarette at a dangerous angle, yet claimed that Gus could not be found on Broadway to serve a summons in his hand. This is how we knew Gus. Louisa saw the sludge plop from the faucet, the mice drooping from the ceiling. She shook her head and said, no rent. Still said no after his fist buckled the bolted door. In the basement, Gus hit switches. The electric arteries in the walls stopped pumping. Stove code, heat off. Light bulbs gray. She lived 3 months in darkness, the wax from her candle spreading over the kitchen table like a calendar of the constant night. Sleeping in her coat, a beggar in the underworld kingdom of rodents. When Louisa came to me, a lawyer who knew Spanish, she kept coughing into her fist, apologizing with every cough. So three strangers gathered in the hallway. The locksmith kneeled before the knob on the basement door, because I asked him to be a burglar today. The Edison man swallowed dryly, because I asked him to smuggle electricity today. Forget Gus's promise of crushed fingers. And me, the lawyer, tightly rolled a court order in my hand like a newspaper to swing at flies. So far from the leather-bound books of law school, the treatises on the Constitution of some other country. We worked quickly, thieves of light. The door popped open, as in a dream of welcome, swaying with the locksmith's fingers. The Edison man pressed his palms against the fuse boxes and awakened the sleeping wires in the walls. I kept watch by the door, then crept upstairs, past Gus's office where shadows and voices drove the blood in my wrists still faster. I tapped on Louisa's door. I had to see if the light was on. She stared at me as if the rosary had brought me here with the sudden glow from the ceiling. A stove where rice and beans could simmer, sleep without a coat. I know there were no angels swimming in that dim yellow globe, but there was a light louder than Gus. So much light, I had to close my eyes.